This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast. I am your host, Aaron Peterson, and this is a special episode of our show. We're going to interview director John Depew. He is the director of an independent film called Lazarus Rising, which is right now currently circling the film festival markets. He dropped by to talk about his new movie, what it takes to get an independent movie made, his company Wild Beagle Productions and what they're trying to do, and basically all aspects of filmmaking on his end. It's really interesting. You know, we love to have independent filmmakers on the show when we can, and I think this is a great insight into that world to understand how an independent filmmaker gets his movies made, how he gets stars like Eric Roberts and C. Thomas Howell and Lenny Clark to come by. It's very interesting, very interesting. And the movie revolves around Mike Pfaff, who's a hitman in a plethora of hitmen, who is trying to save his girlfriend from assassins the world over. It's an interesting film, and it should be coming out soon. Right now, I think they're still looking for distribution. But like I said, it's playing the film festival circuit. So if you know any film festivals in your area, you can check out Lazarus Rising there. Remember, you can also find more information on the movie at LazarusRisingMovie.com. But for right now, let's get right into it. I know you guys want to hear the interview more than you want to hear me rambling. Here's my interview with director John Depew. Hey, John.
Hey, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. Great to be with you.
Even if
in spirit.
I was looking through. The first thing I noticed reading your bio is you were born in Hawaii, and apparently you live in Massachusetts now. Is that right?
Yeah, I was born in Hawaii, raised out here in California. And at 18, I joined the Navy, and the last port of call was Boston, so I stayed there.
You realize you're going the wrong way, right? I mean, the warmth is the other way.
It depends on my next wife, where I live.
Good call. You got into acting a little later in life. How did that happen?
I did, yeah. Well, I actually had a friend that who later became a partner in my other business. He needed a ride to an audition he was doing for a local theater group. And when we got there a little bit late. They didn't have anybody to read opposite. It was for a play called 12 Angry Men. Mm-hmm. And so I read the opposite part, and woman said, have you ever acted? And I said, not since high school and just in one or two plays. And she said, you did a great job. Would you like that part? So okay. We both got hired, and that's where I first got the bug. And then about a year later, I was in Massachusetts, and I heard about a whole film community. So that's when I started that way.
That's crazy, because you hear so many people that have either they started when they were two, you know, the parents forced them into it, or, you know, they'd just been pursuing it forever and they just get their break late. You actually started a little late.
Oh, yeah. Everything I start in life is late. I started making films just only 5 years ago. So the Lazarus is our fourth.
You did acting for a little bit. Then you got behind the scenes and you even started your own production company, right? With Wild Beagle Productions?
Yes.
Yes,
with my wife. Yes.
What prompted you to do that, to be both an artist in front of the camera and behind it?
Well, like I said, I've been acting. After that, I was acting for like 20 years in either theater or in films, little small independent stuff. And I had a dream one night about a story, and that was our first film, 27 Down. And it's about a cop who runs over a 10-year-old kid, and then he gets assigned the case and has to deal with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew a lot of people in the Massachusetts film community, and I went to work for one of these, and I was talking to the director, and I told her about the story, and she said, oh, my God, that's a great storyline. Let's do it. So I said, well, I'd love you to do it. I'd like to work behind the camera. I mean, I've always observed, but I'd really like to see the nitty-gritty of it. She said, well, you can cast it. You can be in it, and we'll just go from there. And so after about three meetings with her and the way she was treating cast members and how she was working, I decided this is not going to work. So I went home, took my wife out to dinner, and I said, Judy, I don't think this is going to work. And she just said, hey, we don't go on a lot of vacations. We got enough money in the bank. Let's just start our own company, and you do it.
Hmm.
And that's how we started.
Oh, that's
and
fantastic.
We decided we were going to treat it just like we do our other business. And I think that's a mistake a lot of younger filmmakers who get into the business, they're very artistic, but they don't think about the business side of it either.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I'm concerned, filmmaking is just like any other business. You have to know what you're doing, and you have to plan from beginning to end, from not just making a film, but how you're going to get it distributed.
Yeah, the art can only take you so far.
Exactly. Exactly. It's certainly not a cheap man's game, I can tell you that.
Well, now that you've actually directed a few, I guess in terms of the process, what are your least and favorite parts of directing?
Finding the wrong crew or the wrong cast
that makes
to work
sense.
With.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which I've been very fortunate in that I'm really an actor's director more than a technical director. I've learned the technical as I've gone along, but you know, it's the success of a film depends on a lot of elements. You know, your music has to be right, your cinematography has to be great, but your acting has to be there. Any one of those things missing, and you're not going to have a film. So, you know, somebody asked me what I'd rather do, direct or act, and what was my greatest skill, and I said my greatest skill is finding really great people and getting the hell out of their way.
That's a good way to look at it.
Which is how I approach directing a lot of times.
Definitely a good way to look at it.
When I'm doing a film with an actor, I'll basically say, okay, we'll do a couple of rehearsals, but I'm not going to tell you what to do other than give you the blocking on it. And then I say, okay, let's shoot. And I find that is the best way because it opens up the actors who are, if you've hired the right people, they're going to bring something that either you've seen and it's your vision, or they bring something you didn't even think about at the time. And a really good example of that was C. Thomas Howell in Lazarus Rising. Mm-hmm. We brought him in for Silent Cal, and I had really pictured a Michael Madsen-type character doing it, being very slow and deliberate, and he just did the exact opposite. When we did the scene, I called cut, and he just said, how was that? And I went, Silent Cal's not so silent. not bad. Let's keep it.
Was he not supposed to talk at all?
Yeah, he was supposed to talk.
Okay.
He had
all
those
right.
lines, but basically he ad-libbed a little bit, but he always gave the other actor their lines right on time, and he just really talked fast. And I just thought it was a great performance. And then I thought, you know, I got to keep doing this. Just let him act first. You can always tell an actor, well, I like what you're doing, but I need this mm-hmm. for this scene. But sometimes you just don't tell them, and they bring their only interpretation to it, and it turns out to be, you know, a lot better. You can't think of everything.
I think that's a great segue, because Lazarus Rising has, I'm a huge Eric Roberts fan. In fact, I think he's probably one of the best supporting actors working today, has been for a long time. Unfortunately, I think he gets a little underappreciated. I just think any movie mm-hmm. with him is better for it. How did you end up getting him in the movie?
There was actually a gentleman named Scott David, and I met him through a friend of mine who suggested that he was more a director's agent than an actor's agent.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you're looking to do film and you're looking to get some name actors in it, talk to this guy, because he'll tell you and give him your budget, and then he knows a lot of the community. I had actually approached his agent, Eric's agent at the time, and they turned down the script.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt that they even gave it to him, because then when I found Scott, I said, I was really looking for Eric Roberts for this part. Because he's playing a senator, but he's sort of a renegade senator. And I've always liked him. I like you, I'm a big fan of his work. And so he said, well, let me talk to him. And he came back and he goes, yep, you got him.
Wow.
I thought, oh, that's great. And then when he came on set, it was just, I think people don't realize what a great guy he can be.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a reputation about he has sometimes, but that was never my experience with him. He came on set. I stopped the whole set and I said, hey, everybody. And he just said, John, don't say anything. And he walked over to like the production assistant, said, hi, my name is Eric. What's yours? And he knew everybody's name on the set, which I thought was phenomenal.
That is great. He just,
that was typical of all our actors, all our name actors and all of our actors. In fact, you know, they were there because they wanted to work.
And you had quite a few of them. You had Lenny Clark was in there too. You already talked to C. Thomas Howell. Was there anybody on your dream list that it just didn't work out for you? Like you really wanted, but it didn't work out.
Well, like I said, I had wanted Michael Madsen, but kind of a funny story to that is the guy, when we wrote the script and when I read it, I looked at the main villain, Mr. Gray,
mm-hmm.
and I had seen a Donnie Maropas who plays the character, and the film was been in Troy and Hidalgo and a few others, and he was on season 24.
Yeah,
he played the main villain in it.
Yep.
And I thought of him for that role, and I thought, well, there's just no way I'm going to get him. He called me out of the blue and said, hey, I'm sort of interested in this character. And I thought, the Adani. I follow a lot of actors I think are going to, that are not, you know, haven't got that opportunity to really shine and see what they can do. And he blew me away on the set with the character. He had a lot of his own ideas, but we talked about it. He listened and followed direction really well and really collaborated. He was really, really a surprise for me that I was even able to get him on the set for that particular role.
Oh, he was creepy,
but
too.
As far as the other actors, there wasn't an actor in this thing that I didn't like.
Well, how'd you decide on your two?
You hadn't done a great job.
How'd you decide on your two leads? Mike Pfaff and, is it Pfaff? Is it pronounced Pfaff? I hope I said that right.
Yes, and, Mike Pfaff and Devin Ogden.
Devin Ogden, right. How'd you
Mike was actually involved from the beginning. He was a friend of Rufus, who was the writer, had read the script, and he had called me and said, I just want to be a part of this. I'll help you produce it if you want. And I said, okay. And you're an independent filmmaker. You need to cut corners wherever you can. And I said, one of the things we're going to have a really tough time with is finding actors who can also do their own stunts, because they can't afford a whole stunt team just to do the stunts. And Mike actually owned a stunt studio, or he's part of one. And so at some point in the process, I had said to Mike, have you ever auditioned? And he goes, no, not really. And I said, well, come in and audition for the part. And I mean, he blew me away, and I just thought, we found our Fitzpatrick. And he does a really great job. I don't know if you've seen it or not.
No, yeah. I watched it last night, actually.
Yeah, What'd you think?
I thought it was good. It had some interesting twists to it. It wasn't quite what I thought it was going to be. The opening 10 minutes where they basically describe about 16 characters was a little confounding. But after that, I mean, it flowed.
Yeah.
I like
that. We knew we were running a risk by doing that, but I think it got through once we got them.
And the movie, for those that aren't aware, it's a movie about an assassin who's on the run from a team of assassins who are all after Mike Pfaff's girlfriend, Emma. What about this story intrigued you? Why was this the story you wanted to tell? Because, you know, you're starting a production company.
Well, for a couple of reasons. Okay. I watched a lot of action pictures, and the hero in the picture, the main hitman, is always the guy that knows everything he's doing. I thought, you know, you have to have that, but let's make this guy a little bit vulnerable, that he's not the toughest of all of them, and that he's often mismatched, and yet he can kind of come through that. And, you know, when he meets Mr. Gray, Mr. Gray is much, much stronger than he is and much, you know, faster. It's his match, and he has to try to overcome that. And the thing that really intrigued me about this storyline is, again, it's like all my things. I have this idea for a film. Then I'll hire a writer, and I'll bring it in, and I'll say, you know, let's flush this out. You do the script part of it, and I'll look at it, and I may make a couple of changes, or I want to add a scene or something like that. But that's how we worked. And Rufus Chaffee, who actually wrote the script, we were just on the same page. I mean, his first draft blew me away. We took it to a few readings. And one of the other things I loved about Rufus is that, you know, people, when you're involved in your own work, whether it's filmmaking, acting, or writing, often get defensive when people don't understand what they're trying to do, or they don't feel they're critiqued in some way. And like myself, Rufus was the exact same way when we were doing the readings. He just took notes and he just said, yeah, you know what? That's a good idea. Let's do that. You know, it wasn't like, well, the reason I wrote it this way, or the reason I did it that way. And that's what I found was really intriguing about working with Rufus.
Interesting. So when you're doing an action movie, an action thriller, I would say, Which did you find harder, doing the action beats, you know, those little scenes, which I would.
Yes.
That's harder than the drama.
Actually, and I'll be very honest, when it came to the action sequences, I relied on Mike and another gentleman to just direct those particular scenes. You got to know what your weaknesses are. You got to know what you're not good at. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just like in business, you know, you always want to attach yourself to somebody who's strengths are your weaknesses, so that you got a great product in the end. Mike had been a stuntman for a long time. He's also had been an actor, and he's really terrific. And my DP knew how to shoot action sequences. So when those things took place, I knew what I wanted, but I also knew enough to, you know, just make it exciting. And the one thing about the action sequence, and the only direction I gave to him, is that I don't want this to be a kickboxing, how great you are at fighting. I want it to be rough and tumble. I want it to be very realistic. And I want you guys to fight dirty.
That's good. You don't want that easy going. It looks too choreographed, you know, Jet Li style.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes.
I see a lot of that, and I think it's a big mistake. I think it's been overdone to death.
It has been. Ever since The Matrix, that's all you see is choreographed fighting.
Yeah. Everybody liked the way it looked, and I do too. But as far as action sequence, and one of the things, when I did this script, and in fact, all of our scripts, even though they might be action-oriented, I try to make sure that we've got a story and that you care about the characters and the characters are connected to the action. What I mean by that is if you just do action sequences and you don't care about the actor that's involved in that scene, or you don't hate them or you don't love them or you're not worried about them, I just think all you have is an action sequence and you might as well just shoot that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to care about, will this guy make it through it, you know? So I always want to tell stories that are not just action pictures, but are action pictures with characters in them. And I know in this day and age, everybody wants that MTV type of feel.
But, yeah.
And so it's a real balancing act to try to keep the action going, but also keep interest in the characters and give some depth to them.
Well, I know I got to let you go here in a minute, but I want to ask you, independent filmmaking is very tough. I'm sure you can attest to that. And there's so many films out there these days. How would you tell people Lazarus Rising sets itself apart from the flock?
Just in what I just said, that I think that we're not just an action picture, that we're trying to tell a story that involves both, you know, all types of characters, and then they're not always all good or all bad. I think that that's what life is about a lot of times. We do things, you know, in life that we're ashamed of, or we've done bad things in our life. In fact, the first film I ever did, the byline on it was, it's not the things you do who define who you are, it's what you do next as a result of it. And I never liked pictures that had a clear-cut hero and a clear-cut villain. I like that type of thing where even in your villainous villain, there's a heart there that's beating and there is a humanity within that character. And those are the stories that kind of really interest me, is if I can bring all of those elements together.
Well, thanks for joining us. Action on Film, that was where you had your premiere this past weekend, right?
Yes, the Action on Film Festival, which is a great, little known, but a great festival, and it differs in a lot of way from a lot of festivals that are out there,
in this
way in particular. I generally, with all of my pictures, this was only the second picture I ever took to a film festival, and I've only done it twice, because I really think there's three types. And this is for independent filmmakers only. There are three types of festivals. There's the Torontos and the Tellurides and the Cannes. To get in those pictures, you better have A-list actors backed by major companies, and you better also know somebody in the festival, because it's very, very political now.
Mm-hmm.
That scene has changed a lot, even if they say they're an independent filmmaker. And then you've got those film festivals where they're really easy to get into, but when you go to the festival, you find that your movie is being shown on a cut sheet in a basement, and there are people playing poker in the background, and all they've got is seats. And when the Action on Film Festival accepted us, Dale Weston, who runs it, is just a really special guy. He sort of understands what real filmmakers or real independent filmmakers are, and it's almost more than a festival. It's an opportunity to showcase, and he asks so little from the people doing it, and he gives so much. And it's just a phenomenal film festival if you're lucky enough to get in it. And then to be nominated was in three different areas, which just blew my mind entirely. So I can't say enough about the festival itself and about the guys that run it.
Good reception, good time, I hope.
Yeah, oh, my God. I've been out here since last Thursday, and I'm leaving back to go to L.A. to Boston on Sunday. And, you know, I've met a lot of great people out here. I've met distributors. I've met filmmakers. And, you know, I've gotten great opportunities with this film that I think it really stands a chance to go someplace. Just talking to other filmmakers and sharing our experiences and you know, and I, as a filmmaker, love to do that. I don't think we're in competition with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a thing where it's like, what did you do right that got you to where you are? And, oh, by the way, what did you do wrong that mistake I don't want to make? And the only way you get that information is by giving it. So that's my dad always told me, create win-win situations and you'll go a lot farther in life. create a win-lose situation on either end, and you're gonna regret it. That's been very, very true.
Very good advice. Very good advice.
Thank you.
So any word on when it's going to be available for general public?
Well, right now, like I said, I'm in talks with several distributors and trying to get the right deal because I got to get my money back, man.
Yeah, you do. You do. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, there are a lot of distributors, and like anything in life and anything, you know, there are good ones and there are bad ones, you know. You know, as filmmakers, I think a lot of independent filmmakers, we're out there and we want to get our film shown, and we forget that, you know, it costs money, and or you raised enough money and you're responsible to the people that did it, and you need to get their money back if you want to continue in this business.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you know, you get approached by a distributor, and this has happened to me. That's one of those mistakes I always pass on to other distributors, is be careful who you sign with, because you could sign on with a distributor, and if they don't sell it in the first 3 weeks, in a lot of cases, it's going to sit on the shelf and never get off, and they're not going to continue to sell it, yet they've got you tapped into a 10-year contract or a 5-year contract, and so your movie's stuck and nobody's going to see it. And so if you ask me if I have really any advice for other filmmakers, and particularly independent ones, it's this: be careful who you sign with and make sure you ask the right questions.
Oh yeah, they should have a list of those questions somewhere. Somebody should put them online.
Exactly. And the second thing I would offer other filmmakers is make sure you budget for marketing. And that's something I think very few filmmakers, I see it all the time. They've got their money, they raise it, they make their film, but you've got to get the word out there. And you've got to, you know, to do that, people got to know who you are, and you've got to have the opportunity. And that takes money too. So when you're budgeting for your film, budget for your marketing.
Very smart. And you've got a website, LazarusRisingMovie.com.
Yep, there, and www.wildbeagleproductions.com as well. And my email's on both.
Excellent.
So any filmmaker out there you want to talk, give me a call.
That's good to know.
More than willing to share information, man. It's the only way we're all going to make it.
Well, John, I got to let you go. I just want to say thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
I really appreciate you, man.
Oh, thanks for
coming. You just helped me make my movie. You're gonna get a credit.
No. Oh. Sure. Put me somewhere at the very, very end.
All righty, you got it.
All right, sounds good. Good luck
on
the release.
Thank you very much.
Let us know when it's officially coming out. Looking forward to it.
I will do.
All right.
All righty.
Take care.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. What'd you guys think? I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you like getting the insight into filmmaking and independent filmmaking. The entire concept of from script to budget to getting to production to how do you get these things distributed, all of that. And I like how he points out the money factor, and not because, you know, we want to bore you guys with the financials, but, you know, these guys do have to get their money back, you know. So when these independent films are made and they go through the trouble, people don't realize how much is at stake for a lot of these independent filmmakers. And it's great that John alluded to that and he discussed that. He was willing to open up about it. I appreciate John. I appreciate you coming by. I wish you the best with the movie. It should be coming out soon. I have faith. Distribution is in your future, sir. So we look forward to that, and we will let you know once the distribution is announced so that you guys can go catch it yourself if you don't have a film festival near you. Thanks again, John, for coming by. And remember, that's LazarusRisingMovie.com. That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. And remember, guys, the next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn.